You're listening to the Why Big Football Show, the Irish soccer show by the fans for the fans. If you want to get involved with the show, advertise, or even sponsor, drop us an email to theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, @theworldstalking, without the G. We'll chat to you soon. Come on, the boys in green. We're approaching May and the European Championships are even closer. There's some good news for Giovanni Trapattoni, with Richard Dunn and John O'Shea making some good recoveries from injury. We'll have a fresh wave of Irish players in the Premier League next season as Reading secure promotion from the Championship and Shamrock Rovers slip up to Derry in the Setanta Cup. This is the Why Big Football Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. Our special guest on the show this evening is an up-and-coming Irish footballer applying his trade in Holland, where he's lived all his life. He's doing very well for his club, VVV Venlo, who are struggling towards the bottom of the Dutch Eredivisie table. At 22, Barry Maguire has already played for FC Utrecht and FC Den Bosch. He's represented Ireland and the Netherlands at youth levels in international football and has a long, long career ahead of him. He's also played in the Europa League. Barry Maguire, thanks for coming on the Why Big Football Show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Before we look back at your career, let's talk about the season so far, Barry. I guess it's quite up and down for yourself, as you're in pretty good form at the moment yourself, playing really well. But I guess the results for the club just aren't going your way.
Yeah, it's true. The first half of the season wasn't that good. With the winter break, we got a new trainer. After two games, didn't start anymore. But now the last 5 to 6 weeks, I've started again, and I'm playing pretty good. So only the results of the team are not that good.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was looking back at a couple of the results and that, and you know, I think it's 6 defeats in a row now or something like that. I mean, I guess for all the lads at the club and on the team, it's pretty hard to take.
Yeah, that's true. But we knew that the last 10 games of the season were the 10 best clubs in the league at this moment. So, yeah, I hope we're going to get some points in the last few games. It's still important because the two teams are under us are coming up. They're winning in the last game. So, it's a couple of tough weeks coming up.
And one of the things, I guess, about the Dutch league this year, Barry, is we see, you know, the top clubs are performing really well at the top of the table, and it's really competitive this year.
Yeah, that's true. I think until 2 weeks ago, I think the number one and top six were, the difference was 4 points. So yeah, on top of the league, it's a big struggle for them.
And you were mentioning there, Barry. I mean, you're playing some good stuff at the moment, and you know, you're scoring goals. And one of the goals you scored was, of course, against your old club FC Utrecht last week. Or that, what was it like scoring, putting one past them?
Yeah, for me it was great because, of course, against your old club you want to perform. That was great, but I didn't cheer at all because I still have a good contact with a lot of the fans and a lot of people and good friends in the club. So yeah, it's good for me scoring against them. But I hope they will do better the next season because they're not doing that well this season. So
yeah, exactly. And we're also joined by Joe. Joe, you run the Irish Abroad website and you follow players like Barry. You keep in touch with a lot of, say, the Irish players that are applying their trade abroad, and you've been following quite a bit from Barry, and you've been looking at some of the very nice goals he scored recently.
Yeah. There's one of the posters on the Why Big forum has been helped me with Barry's appearance stats over the last 2 seasons now. Phil, it's easy enough to guess the information for players in England and Scotland. Excuse me. But with the Dutch league, it's a bit more difficult. So I have a few volunteers helping me out, and Phil volunteered to keep an eye on Barry for me. So basically, the last is Barry. I just saw the two goals you scored against Héireann Veen. Absolute cracker of a goal, actually. There was a
thank you.
Yeah. There at the end of March, and then just again the goal ended just last weekend against FC Utrecht. Two excellent finishes, and Dave was saying, you know, we hope the results improve for you and for the club, and you get to stay in the Eredivisie.
And Barry, a thing about it is, I mean, when you guys are playing well, you have a lot of good attacking players and players that can move the ball, pass the ball, and you know, when you guys are on the attack, it looks really promising, and you guys seem to start well in every match. But like a lot of matches throughout the season, you'd be playing well for large periods, but only to lose out in the end. So that's got to really take the life out of you almost.
Yeah, sometimes that's hard because we have some good players in front and we score a lot of goals. Not a lot of goals, but we score some goals. And especially like the last game, if you score two goals away against Utrecht, that should be enough. But then defensively, we give too much away. So that's our biggest problem. But we're still working on that. But if we do that better, then we should go up. But yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, and now it doesn't get much easier, Barry. I mean, you guys have, I think, another tough tie with AZ Alkmaar coming up. That's going to be a very tough game, considering where they are in the table.
Yeah, they're on the top of the table, and they need the points for the championship. But then we also, in 2 weeks, we're getting Ajax. So the last game is Twente. So we're getting the last three or four matches. Three teams are still fighting for the championship.
Yeah, it's good. It's exciting. And you know, for young players, Barry, like yourself in the Dutch league, I think it's obviously quite competitive. I mean, for years we've seen the really big clubs in Europe buy players from the Dutch league, and you know, then those players go on to become huge, like the likes of Ruud van Nistelrooy, Arjen Robben and the likes. Do you find it to be a great league to play in at your age?
Yeah, I think in Holland there are a lot of young players, but also a lot of good players. And just like you said, a lot of big players who are playing in big clubs now are coming. They used to play in the Dutch league, so I think the Dutch league is very good. Good league for young players to grow up and then go to a bigger league.
Yeah, that's probably a key point there. You know, we see a lot of the young players, they develop their skills in the Dutch league, and a lot of the players that do tend to go on to the bigger leagues, they tend to make it pretty big, it's probably fair to say.
Yeah, I think because especially a lot of Dutch, almost all the Dutch guys who are playing in the national team now in South Holland used to play. They started in the Dutch league, so yeah, and in the Dutch national team there are a lot of good players. So I think you can say that the Dutch league is a very good place for young players to start.
And Joe, coming to yourself on this, when we see the likes of all the big names and they have applied their trade in the Dutch league and they move on, you'd kind of almost question the Dutch league should be the place that maybe they'd stay in and the league would develop in that. But at the same time, for young players, I mean, we follow young Irish players who are starting now to make it from the League of Ireland and that, and perhaps through the leagues in England. The Dutch league is certainly a great alternative for players, say, like Barry or that, and maybe we could get a couple of more Irish players involved in the Dutch league over the next few years. It would be great.
Yeah, I think one of the key points there about the Dutch league is that, like, you know, there's a very long tradition of promoting youth football there and, you know, establishing their skills at a very early age and then, you know, bringing them through the club system into the first team. A lot of the players that move on from the Dutch league, you know, have had, you know, several seasons playing at the highest level before they do move on to Spain or Italy or England or wherever. And I think that's, you know, that's something we can definitely compare to the Irish league to. You know, when Kevin Doyle went over, he had a couple of solid seasons under his belt with Cork City. You know, Andy Stevens, you know, just gone over to Aston Villa. The same with Shamrock Rovers, even playing in Europe against Spurs that just at the end of last year. You know, I think that, you know, obviously the comparison is, you know, first team football, competitive first team football, at a young age, and, you know, learning your trade as the saying goes before moving on to bigger and better things. I know we've talked about, you know, how difficult it can be in some of the bigger clubs in England, for younger players to break through. That it's an honour to be signed for their academy and to be brought through the system, but at the end of the day they can only pick 11 players, can only start any match, and it can be that much difficult for players who haven't got the experience at a high level to break into the first team. You know, they still have that experience of competitive football and can establish a reputation for themselves before moving on and then getting signed up by bigger clubs in other leagues.
Absolutely. And Barry, you know, Joe talked there about playing at the top level, and for yourself, I mean, you have the experience of playing in the Europa League. What was that like? We seen you play in Anfield and that, you know, how challenging was that?
I think that for every boy it's a dream come true. Everybody wants to play at the highest level, and then at that age you can play at the European League against Liverpool at Anfield. Yeah, that's amazing, that's great. I think if you ever been there, that's what you want to be every week.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, for the future, Barry, you mentioned other leagues, the bigger leagues. Would you ever see yourself a couple of years down the line maybe playing in another league, like maybe the Bundesliga or La Liga or even the Premier League in England?
Yes, sure. I would love that. I think you see a lot of good players in Holland. If you do well for a couple of years in Holland, then most of the players they go to the Bundesliga or the Premier League. So, yeah, it would be great to do that too.
And no doubt the style of football that you yourself play, Barry, would certainly go down well in a lot of the Premier League clubs. You know, they have the ability, I suppose, to attack and defend and score goals. There's a lot of Premier League midfielders and defenders even that seem to be able to do that. So you'd probably find yourself, it's suited to your game almost.
Yeah, I think so, yes. Maybe it's because of my high risk roots, of course, and that I think the Premier League is my favorite competition. But yeah, we'll see. I hope to perform well the next couple of years, and then I will see what happens.
And now for yourself and the you know, the big Irish connection, do you ever get back over to Ireland much, and would your Irish family make it to some of your games over in Holland?
We played at PSV, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and a nephew from me from Dublin, he came over to see the game. He had some friends in Eindhoven, and he went to the game with some friends, so that was good.
Brilliant. And, you know, you played for both the Netherlands and Ireland at youth levels. Would you love the chance to play for Ireland again in the future? I mean, you're only 22.
Yes, that would be great. It would be an honour to have an invitation for the national team.
Certainly is. And Joe, I guess, you know, we'd love to have somebody like Barry involved in the sense that he'd bring that different style of game, you know, that we're used to. Obviously, the majority of the Ireland team are picked from the English Premier League. Now, we have, obviously, Aidan McGeady in Russia and Robbie Keane now over in LA. But Barry would bring a kind of a different style of play almost, something different, kind of like what Conor McCormack brought back to Shamrock Rovers from his time in Italy.
Just like I was saying before, that, you know, a lot of the majority of our players, you know, come through the system in England, you know, and we still have the English game has a massive influence, you know, on the club scene here as well. So I think, you know, the players that are educated in a different style, bring different angles to the game we have.
There certainly would, Joe. And Barry, just to put that point to you, you know, do you feel you'd bring a different style of game if you were to be picked in the Ireland team? Would you bring a different style of football, considering, you know, a lot of the Irish team do play in England? You know, you might be playing a little bit of a different style, and I guess that could benefit the Irish team.
I would hope so, but I definitely think that the education in the youth teams in Holland is a lot different than in English teams. In Holland, they want to play football. They don't want really want to play the long balls, and they definitely want. Yeah, they want to like become players. Every player in Holland wants to become like Sneijder, Van der Vaart, and like with a really good technique. So I think that's a little bit different than the youth teams in England.
And if you were, you know, down the line to be picked for Ireland and to go on and play for Ireland, no doubt that would be a bit of an advantage, I guess, that you might have on, say, a lot of the other players, the fact that you'd be bringing something different to the table. You'd be bringing more of the continental style football.
I hope so, yes. I hope I can bring something different to the table for the Irish team. And maybe, I don't know for sure, but maybe they can benefit from it. But we will see in the future.
Certainly, Barry. And, you know, obviously, Ireland are in the European Championships this year. And if, you know, if maybe there's always a chance that you might get a call or that. But if not, will you be following the team on the television or maybe perhaps even taking a trip over to Poznan in Poland?
Yeah, well, I will definitely follow the team on television. I'm not going over there. We don't have that much vacation, so I'm going on vacation with a couple of friends. But I will definitely follow, and I think maybe the season is getting to start again over here. But I will definitely follow the team on television.
Brilliant. And looking at the Irish team, Barry, at the moment, you know, has any of the players impressed you or that? Who stood out for you?
Yeah, I always had my eye on McGeady, of course, and yeah, Keane, of course. Yeah, I saw a couple of games, and yeah, that are also the big names. But these are also the guys who are, I love to watch.
Yes, certainly. And, you know, no doubt, of course, you'll be keeping an eye on the Netherlands like everybody back in Holland. I mean, I think they're in the group of death, it's probably fair to say, Germany, Portugal and Denmark.
Yeah, that's going to be a really tough game. But a couple of years ago, they also had the group of death with Italy and France, and then they made it easily too, and then lost in the quarterfinals from Russia. So if you win the pool, it's not everything. So of course, it's a hard game for them. But yeah, it doesn't say anything if you make it through.
Indeed, and we're also now joined by John, an Irish fan in Dublin. And John, Barry was mentioning he'd love the chance to play for Ireland, and he believes that he could bring something maybe different to the team. And I was saying, you know, about the continental style football, and I mentioned to Joe that we've seen the likes of Conor McCormack coming back from Italy and playing for Shamrock Rovers and giving them another dimension. I mean, I guess it would be great one day to see Barry in the green jersey and offering something different, a different style of play to what we're used to, because the majority of our players have played in England, John.
Yeah, definitely. I think from a coaching point of view and from a players from an expansion point of view in the football, I think it would benefit us a lot. And usually tell the players, you know, a lot of national teams, their teams will affect how they play, how their league plays. I mean, Spain, they're all about passing lives, the Barcelona players. England's strengths are their physical games, but whenever they come up against more technical teams, they can struggle. It's the same with us to an extent. We tend to play 4-4-2 or just trying to hoof the ball up. But sometimes even we've come up against technical teams who should be a lot more inferior than us, but they're not. You know, the likes of even Armenia, Macedonia, they played some really good football. And it just shows you what you can do with a bit of coaching. And somebody like Barry, who'd be used to that, he would do, I'd say, I'm sure, not speaking from experience, but speaking from watching us, you know that it's a very technical game over there, much more technical than in Ireland or England. And the focus is always on passing, one-touch passing and total football. So it's good for our players to get to play in different environments as well. I think Aidan McGeady, for example, I know he's struggling a bit at the moment over in Moscow, but when he went the first year, he was a revolution. And I would say he was our best player this campaign. Yeah. For some of his forms, he caused a lot of trouble. He kind of added a bit of a finished product as well, but suitably playing in a different league. So the more players that can play in good leagues, the better. And Holland's a very strong league, everybody knows that. A lot of the players, even you look at some of the players in the Premiership who've come, the likes of Percy, and even gone back a few years, you had Overmars and Bergkamp and things like that. Even though they weren't playing, they are Dutch players, and they would have started off in that league. Even now, you have Suarez for Liverpool. I don't think he's been as good for Liverpool as at Ajax, but maybe that's the Liverpool influence. It's certainly a very good league. Even to watch Ajax, even there against United, and not lost, but they're still a decent team technically, and the big clubs there as well. I mean, Ajax is a huge club, even if they list any players. But from my own point of view, yeah, we could definitely use some players like that.
And Barry, you know, looking at the Euros, I mean, Ireland are in a pretty tough, I mean, we mentioned Holland in what is known as the group of death, but Ireland are in a pretty tough group as well, you know, with Croatia, Spain and Italy. I mean, it's going to be very difficult. Do you see the Irish having much chance?
I think they have. Of course, Spain, everybody expects from them maybe even to win the European Championship. But if you see Italy and Croatia, of course, they're good teams, but also they had a couple of bad games. So I think if Ireland has a good day, they can still win from Croatia and Italy.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned, Barry, Irish players that you've been impressed with, and you mentioned the likes of Aidan McGeady and Robbie Keane and that, and players like Aidan McGeady, who's playing in Moscow, and the fact that he's one of the only Irish players that is playing outside of, say, the Premier League in England or that kind of thing. Do you think something similar, you know, that could boost your chances of being spotted by the management team, and, you know, the fact that they're now starting to take notes of other, they're starting to watch other leagues, they might cast an eye over the Dutch league and see you scoring those fine goals?
I hope so. If that improved my chances, that would be great. I also think, of course, because of the Premier League, it's maybe the biggest competition there is. And the best, and Ireland is not that far away from England, so maybe that's why there are a lot of players, of course, in England. But yeah. If they're looking, I hope they're looking also to the Dutch competition and to me, that would be great.
Yeah, John, coming to yourself on this, I mean, the fact that Aidan McGeady, that's playing in Russia, it might, the Irish management team and scouts and all, and hopefully they'd cast an eye over Irish players playing on the continent. We've spoken about it a lot on the programme. We've had Dominic Foley on talking about his time in Belgium and that kind of thing. And, you know, this might broaden their horizons and they might get to see some of these great goals and the type of player that Barry is.
Just speaking from what Dominic Foley was even saying there 2 weeks ago when he was on, made some very interesting points, even down to the basics about getting ready for a match beforehand. The drills they used to do in Ireland, he'd noticed that it's all about running, getting fitness, working on the muscles, and making sure you can run enough during the match. But over in Belgium, it was all to get a bag of football, to be all doing things in little circles, concentrating on close control and passing. And even within a game, that would follow through, and you'd see players trying to pass the ball out from the back, always looking at an option as opposed to just hoofing it up. And it's as a result, it's a completely different game. And he said that really opened his eyes in terms of if players could focus like that in Ireland, it would be a big benefit. And it's probably a bit of a wider issue, really, across Ireland, across coaching in general here.
Yeah.
That we shouldn't really getting players to try and win so early, you know, to get to 12, 13. It's all about win, as opposed to tactics go out the window. Or not tactics, but the actual football side goes out the window.
Yeah.
So players haven't developed their technical side yet, and they're already being encouraged to just hoof it up or go. It's this win-win mentality to an early age, you know. Whereas the likes of Barcelona or whatever on the continent, it's all about passing, playing the passing game. And you can see that it works all the way through. It would take a long time to change it, you know, but you would see the benefits of it without doubt. You reap what you sow, as they say. So if they change the coaching, I think, I mean, we definitely have produced a lot of talented players, and even without a sort of coaching structure that encourages that type of passing football. So if we had the right structure there, you know, you give yourself a much better chance at finding better players and ultimately better teams as well.
Yeah, and Barry, on a kind of a light note, if you were to get in the Ireland team in the near future, no doubt you could challenge Stephen Hunt for the longest hairstyle. No doubt you still have that fine head of hair.
I don't think it's that long anymore, but who knows?
Yeah, it's definitely. What do you do, Barry, to relax, you know, when you're not playing football? Do you play a bit of golf, or do you play the video games or anything like that?
No, not at the moment. I don't play golf or anything. I just like to relax with friends and just hang out with friends. Sometimes play on the PlayStation.
The plans for the future, Barry, is it no doubt you'll be looking to stay with VVV Venlo for the next while anyway, and hoping to, you know, improve on those results?
Yes, not survive, but we still have to play the playoffs, and I think we'll definitely win that. So, and then I hope next season we get a couple of good new players, and then get higher up the table.
Well, Barry, we wish you the very, very best of luck going forward. I know a lot of guys on the YBIG forum, on the Irish Soccer Fans forum, they've been keeping a very close eye on all the developments around yourself in the Dutch league and that, and we wish you very well, and we hope to see you maintaining that flying form and hopefully see you in green in the near future. Thanks a million, Barry, for joining us on the programme.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed, that was Barry Maguire from VVV Venlo. Terrific stuff. I'd urge any Irish fan to get on YouTube and have a look at some of his recent goals. Really incredible stuff, it's probably fair to say. Now, we're delighted to be joined on the line by Gareth Marr, football journalist with the Irish Daily Mail. Gareth, thanks for joining us on the YBIG Football Show.
No problem.
Gareth, let's first things first, I suppose, looking at the Irish players, a lot of talk in the media recently. There's been reports of Martin O'Neill, you know, he's had his eyes on the likes of Kevin Doyle and Keith Andrews. I suppose if there was substance to that, perhaps with Kevin Doyle, because it's not looking like Wolves are going to stay in the Premier League, and he could be one Irish player certainly looking for a transfer by the end of the season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because obviously Martin O'Neill's come out recently and said that not so much a call, but he is kind of freshening up the squad and they're looking for new signings and that. I'm not too sure about Keith Andrews. I have a funny feeling that West Brom will offer him another one-year extension on top of his short-term deal that he signed there. And Kevin Doyle will be a tricky one. Obviously, we rate him very highly, and a couple of years ago he was rated very highly in England, but his stock has really kind of fallen off. And this season, a lot of people have really, especially Wolves fans, have really been disappointed in him. And I think it's a little bit unfair, because he's been played out of position an awful lot.
Yeah.
But Wolves played his five in midfield, and he was often played in the right. And he had injuries as well. And Stephen Fletcher went on a great run of form at one stage. And he would be a good player for Sunderland, especially if Nicholas Bentner, his loan will finish at the end of the season. So he'll probably go back to Arsenal. So they are looking for a big man up front. And I do know from speaking to Noah Quinn, just before he left his role with Sunderland, he said that they were kind of kicking themselves that they didn't go for Shane Long, that he was one that they did consider, and they actually went for Bentner instead, which is a bit ridiculous that when you look at it now, considering the potential that Long still has, and Bentner is somebody who probably doesn't deliver consistently as much as he can. But long story short, I think Doyle would be a good sign. It depends on money, though, really.
Yeah, and John, just to put that point to yourself, you know, about Irish players that might be on the move, do you think, John, that there's going to be, it'll be all the Wolves lads that'll be looking for transfers at the end of the season? I know some people have said that Simon Cox might be, he's waiting to sit down at the end of the season to discuss his terms, and maybe he'll leave West Brom. It'll be interesting to see. Who do you think?
Yeah, well, if you look at Cox, I think he's going to struggle to get a look in there at West Brom. You know, the way they're going at the moment, and he's been kept out of the squad. Fairly so, you'd have to say. So, yeah, he'll definitely be one looking to move. Whether it's the case of Reading, I mean, they're coming up, they're going to be very strong. I think Reading will be very ambitious. They might have new owners coming in, so they're going to be looking to really top players. Like, I wouldn't say they'd be in for Doyle. I don't think he's good, or he offers as much. So, a year or two ago, you'd have all sorts of clubs in for Doyle. But this time, I don't think so.
Because I'm sure, John, there's a few rumours going around circulating that you might have the likes of Kevin Doyle and Stephen Hunt and all back at Reading.
Well, possibly, but to be honest, I think they might be looking at them and thinking that they're not the same as they were when they left, you know. Hunt certainly this season hasn't got a look in really much, or hasn't produced whenever he has got in. For whatever reasons, he just hasn't seemed to do it. And Doyle as well, so, but you never know, even going down to Championship for 6 months and getting a bit of form back in, and they could put themselves back in the shop window. Just at the moment, I can't see. We don't know who the third team will to go up. And so we don't know what kind of ambitions they'll have when they go up. But I mean, Doyle has a lot of experience, no doubt about that. And he can definitely do a job on his day. Everyone goes through bad patches. So it's not like it's not really sustained. It's probably one bad season. But it'll be very interesting. But the other thing is, of course, the European Championships will be putting these players in the shop window. If we go on a run and the players play well, there's a good chance other clubs could come in for them. So even their own clubs or other clubs might look at them and go, yeah, maybe we'll offer them another contract. It'll be an interesting summer.
Yeah, it certainly will be an interesting summer. And we have James now on the line. James, our Irish fan residing in London. James, how are things going in London? No doubt you're keeping a close eye on all the Irish players in the Premier League. And of course, Reading, as John mentioned, they've sealed promotion to the Premier League, and a host of new Irish players we're going to see them next season.
Yeah, and Noel Hunt especially is one of the more vocal lads on Twitter as well. It'd be good to see him back in the Premier League, because he was one of a pivotal member of Trapp's earlier squad. But yeah, just I happened to see Arsenal Aston Villa a couple of weeks ago, and to go on about Stephen Ireland, I think the Villa performance was voted one of the worst ever in the Premiership, and Stephen Ireland brutal that day, Dave. So
yeah.
Maybe that ship has sailed.
Well, that's fair enough. But Garrett, you know, it's certainly a boost for the Irish with Reading going up, because when Wolves came into the Premier League there 2 seasons ago, we seen a fresh influx of Irish, and that obviously benefited the team. But this time round, we have, as James was saying, Noel Hunt, Ian Hart is back in the Premier League. There's Alex Pearce and Jay Tabb, I think, as well. So, I mean, it's a good compliment there.
Yeah, it's obviously Brian McDermott, the manager, has Irish links too as well, which he's keen to exploit. And there's Carl Shepherd, who is yet to play. He signed from Shamrock Rovers.
That's right, yeah.
He's had his injury problems since he's gone over. I think he'll be a good player. Maybe he might have to go on loan if they go to the Premier League next year to get a bit of first-team football. And there's also a young lad called Carl McHugh, who was on loan with Dundalk last year, a very promising lad. So it's a good Irish contingent. They've a good history in the recent years, obviously Doyle and the Hunts and Shane Long as well. So it's good to see them come back up. It'll be interesting to see what McDermott does over the summer. I don't really think he will go for the ex-Reading players, but you never know. Budget might dictate things in that sense. But one of the guys mentioned there, the third championship team comes up, it'll be interesting to see what they do as well, because if it's West Ham, for example, they've Joey O'Brien on their books as as well as Stephen Henderson on loan, who they might sign permanently in the summer as well. So,
and a lot of people are saying, Gareth, about Cardiff, and you know, they've been to the, I think, a couple of playoff finals now at this stage. They'll really want to get into that Premier League, and of course that would give us the chance to see the likes of Joe Mason.
Yeah, he's an exciting player, Joe Mason. Someone who I thought would have played a lot more for the under-21s. He's had a couple of injury problems when he's been called up, but he's been excellent. I think he's 10 goals this season, and Steve McPhail and Liam Lawrence, obviously, there. And I think Anthony Gerrard, the centre-back, has Irish links too as well.
That's
so
right, yeah.
It's, you know, it's great to see them coming up, and it gives more kind of options for the Irish management team to have a look at, like, especially when they're playing the highest level. And you know, if Wolves go down, we're going to lose a couple of guys, because I don't think all of the fellas in the Wolves squad are going to be picked up. I think someone like Stephen Moore is going to stick there, especially the fact that he's club captain at the moment, or at least vice captain. Maybe Kevin Foley and a couple of young lads, Anthony Ford as well. I think they might stick with them if they stay in the Championship.
Yeah, certainly. And coming to Joe, on another player that seems to be really kind of lighting things up in the Championship is, of course, Sean Murray. I know you've been following him quite a bit over the past few months, and I think he's only 18 and he looks really promising for Watford.
Well, yeah, he's just after winning the Young Player of the Month for Watford. Scored a lovely goal at the weekend as well to celebrate it. And he's only just broken into the side as well. It's not like he's been a long-established player. And as you say, he's still quite young at only 18. He's been performing consistently for them on the wing. He's been getting assists and scoring goals. So I think, he's another good, promising young winger coming through that hopefully will be able to... he's played for the under-19s as recently as just last October. And I'd hope to see him making his move on into the under-21s or even to the senior setup if he continues the way he is.
Could he, Joe, be bought by a Premier League club in the summer?
It's possible, yeah. I mean, I think you know, there's a long history of clubs like Arsenal taking the best Championship talent and Everton as well into the Premiership. I think I'd have preferred to see him stay at Watford for at least another year. Like you said, he's still only 18, and the step up might be a little bit too much for him at this stage of his career. I always try to push that young players get first team experience, get first team football experience. Whereas if he moved to the Premiership, he might have to take a step down to the reserves again. Whereas you know, if he stays at Watford for another season, you know, gets a full season under his belt, because he doesn't even have a full season yet.
Yeah.
Just to continue to learn his trade, as the saying goes, and then make the step up to Premiership football.
And hopefully no injuries along the way. James, coming to you on this, and one of the Irish players we've seen in the press this week is, of course, Leon Best. He was making the point that he's back in full training with Newcastle United and his injury is healed and he's, you know, really looking to get back in. I think, in fact, he made the substitute bench for Newcastle in the last game. He came out this week saying that he sent a text to Marco Tardelli just to mention that he's coming back from injury and that, and he said he hasn't got reply at all from anybody in the Irish camp or the management team or that. What do you think about this situation? Is this a little bit, you know, bad communication again? We've had communication problems in the past, but, you know, just looking back for when Stuart Pearce took the temporary job at England, he said he contacted all the players that didn't make the squad for their friendly against Holland or that. Is this bad on the Irish management team, do you think, the fact that they wouldn't even reply to him?
It certainly looks bad, Dave, and as you said, they have a bit of form on this. I would hope it is a miscommunication, if you like, because no one is saying Leon Best should be on the plane to Poland, but at the start of the season, he was actually the form Irish striker. Perhaps himself and John Walters, they were the only two performing well. Shane Long had a good start to the season, but Best had a really good start to the season, and then he got injured, I think, around February. He's back training. He may well get a couple of games between now and the end of the season. If he was to bag a goal or two, you know, there would be questions there.
Yeah.
If people are banging about McLean getting on the plane, Best had a great start, as we said. And if he was to hit form again, well, the least the management could do is reply to his text messages.
Certainly, James, certainly. And Garrett, just to put this to you, you know, Leon Best made the point that he was the only Irish player playing in a top six club in the Premier League, which is very true. You know, the majority of our players are either in the second half of the table or mid-table or that, or even fighting the relegation. But do you think it's a little bit harsh on Leon Best just to be kind of frozen out like this?
Not really. Leon Best has had a little bit of history himself in the past where he hasn't turned up for under 21 squads, and there's been miscommunication on his part as well. So I don't think that sort of stuff should go away. I don't think he's an angel in his own regard. I also think it's a little bit deceiving as well. Okay, he had a decent start to the season, but he only scored 4 goals, and three of those came in one game. I think it was against Wigan, perhaps. And like, 4 goals isn't a great return. I think there's better Irish strikers out there than Leon Best. What I've seen of him when he's come into Irish camps and that, I haven't overly been impressed. I have watched his career for a long time, especially at Coventry and now at Newcastle. I think he's speaking in past terms, because I don't think, with this so few games left in the Premier League season, I don't think he's going to get back into the Newcastle team.
Yeah.
Especially with the form of Papi Cisse and Demba Ba, and even they play Hatem Ben Arfa as a second striker sometimes as well. I don't think he has a chance of going to the Euros unless there's a few injuries to lads. I think Noel Hunt is creeping up there. Although, even speaking to Margaret Tardelli today, he was mentioning Leon Best's name as well. So he's not far from their thoughts, but I think he needs to do a lot more still.
And what about the point, though, Garrett, that it's kind of ironic that Leon Best said he was in the Irish squads when he was struggling to get games at Leicester City in the Championship, but when he went on his nice little run for Newcastle, he wasn't getting a look in. Is that a little bit crazy?
Not really. Like, it's hard to kind of explain sometimes the rationale behind Giovanni Trapattoni's selections, you know.
Yeah.
I think it baffles us all at times, and you know, we look at someone like James McCarthy and, you know, how underused he's been. I was kind of looking at his stats today. 89 minutes over 3 caps. It's pretty poor for a guy who we supposedly rate very highly, you know. And I think he's had an outstanding season with Wigan as well. He's playing a deep line midfield role there. And sometimes players form, like, how long did it take John Walters to get into the squad? I think he was in superior form for such a long time, and he was scoring goals consistently for Stoke and man the match nearly every week for them. And
yeah.
He called into the squad. And I think sometimes that happens. I think sometimes Trapattoni's afraid to mix things up. He stays very loyal to the guys who deliver for him on a consistent basis. And you have to applaud that in some regard. But sometimes you do like to mix it up. And that's why I suppose there's so much clamour for James McLean to come in at the moment.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Joe? Is that something you'd agree with, in the sense that Trapattoni will stay loyal and he doesn't like to mix things up, and even though a player might be on top form, he'd still rather go for somebody who's been in the squad for a while? And as Garrett was saying, we've seen even John Walters was doing so well, it still took him a bit of time to get into the squad.
Yeah, I think it's one of the common complaints about Trapattoni. I think it's a bit of an easy answer. I mean, if it was true, then you know that he'd never have given any new caps. Whereas I think he has brought a lot of players into the team, like you just mentioned, Walters and you know Coleman and Ward, and you know even Whelan and Andrews in central midfield. I think he does have his favourites. I think he has some leeway. I think he is willing to take a look at a player, even if it's just in training. I think that we could probably all name probably about 20 at least of a 20 to 23 man squad that's going to go to Poland.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be any experiment. I don't think there'll be any experimentation in the friendly against Bosnia in May. Excuse me.
Certainly. Yeah.
And I don't think Leon Best will be going either.
I want to put a point actually back to Gareth on something. Now, Gareth, we've spoken on the Why Big Football show over the past few months, it's probably fair to say. We were talking about as Joe was saying, you can almost name, I could probably name Giovanni Trapattoni's 23-man squad right now, but one man who won't even be close to coming into it is, of course, Mark Wilson. And there was a debate on who was actually a better left-back, Mark Wilson or Stephen Ward, and a lot of people said that Stephen Stephen Ward would be necessarily, he'd be a little bit better than Wilson going forward in that position. But as an all-round player, Mark Wilson would be better. But he, I know he's come out in the media explaining his willingness to, how much he really wants to make the squad and all. But he doesn't have a chance either. What do you think that is? I mean, why is Trapp not even bringing an extra left back?
It's bizarre. The first reason, I suppose, and the reason why Trapp Tony would give you if you ask him that question is that he has players in the squad at the moment who can feel left back. He'd point to Stephen Kelly, John O'Shea and Kevin Foley. You know, okay, that's the easy answer.
They're
the right-footed players who'll be switching across to left-back. And someone who's playing naturally left-back for a Premier League team week out like Mark Wilson is, I think he's played over 40 games already this season. He's played in the Europa League and obviously playing for Stoke. And he's done quite well. There's something wrong there. There's a miscommunication between what Trapp Tony perceives Wilson had done or something he thought.
What I understood was, and I know you yourself, Garen, you've probably been to a good few of the press conferences, but from what I had read was initially the media weren't sure what Mark Wilson had done. Trapp Tony kind of leaked something that, oh, there was an incident in that. And then the media had gone to Mark Wilson and Mark Wilson was kind of shocked. He said, I'm willing to apologise if I've done something. I've absolutely no problem apologise. I'd like to talk to Giovanni to find out what it is I'm supposed to have done. And then I think it was brought up again at one of the press conferences, and I think a representative of the FAI said, was quickly just to come out and say, oh, sorry, that matter is dealt with. It was a miscommunication. It wasn't Mark Wilson at all.
Yeah, what it comes down to, I think something will come out about this in the future as well. It comes originally Wilson and was one of the players along with Anthony Stokes and a couple of other lads who didn't turn up for the Carling Nations Cup originally, and he had a slight injury, but I do think he came in to be assessed by the medical staff, so there was kind of a little bit of humming and hawing around then who's kind of the Irish squad and that. But the issue that Trapp Tony had kind of picked on Wilson about, it seems to be player identity, that was a different player who done the misdemeanor, or in this case it seems to be stayed out late and broke a curfew, and so I think he got mixed up that it was Wilson. Now, that's not confirmed yet, but that's a kind of idle talk going at the moment. Regarding your original question about the better left back between Ward and that, you have to consider as well that Ward is pretty new to left back. I know he's played there the past couple of years, but I went off to Wolves to interview him recently enough and we spoke about this, and he's originally a striker and that's where he started his career, playing for Bohemians, and when he went, Mick McCarthy switched him back to left back. So he's still getting there, and you can still see, even to this day, if you watch him closely, he doesn't really have that positional kind of sense that someone who has played left back throughout their youth would. And I think Wilson probably does.
Yeah, James, do you think, I know we had a right old argument about this a couple of months ago, but would you agree with Garrett in that sense? I mean, we see Trapp Tony, and he'll use the excuse that he has other players that can fill in that position. We've seen Stephen Kelly go into that left-back position, which, you know, he does a very good job at right-back for Fulham week in, week out, but we don't see him too much at club level at left-back. And Kevin Foley, Darren O'Dea, they can kind of slot in that left-back, but Trapp would rather that than to use, say, a player that's been playing in the left-back position all season, doing a very good job and is natural there.
It's not ideal, but we have seen him chop and change the defence through the campaign. And the one consistent thing through the campaign has been how good the defence has been, even though he's changed personnel. I personally don't think it's much of an issue because O'Shea can play over there. I wouldn't say Stephen Kelly can play left back. You can put him in the left back position, but I don't think he can play there. But the point is, if he's got a utility player, someone who can slot in there, I'd rather he took an extra striker or an extra midfielder, and this kind of what we keep talking about, plan B when things aren't going well. If the defence is reasonably solid, I'd rather we have another option on the bench in a creative sense.
Yeah, and John, you know, the mistaken identity issue, I mean, things like that, I guess, have been happening with us following the Irish squad for years in terms of miscommunications. A player did turn up when injured to be assessed. There was an injury report faxed from one club in England to the FAI, which got lost somewhere along the lines. Will we ever have a case where we'll have, say, a proper liaison that will say to Trapattoni, yes, Mark Wilson is on, he's on a ferry over right now, or he's on a flight, he'll be here in the next 20 minutes, or, you know, rather than having the manager and the FAI going into press conferences not knowing. I mean, that it just looks bad on all people's, you know, on the player, the management and the FAI.
Yeah, well, it seems very amateur, and it's probably not the first time we've said that about the FAI. But really, look, it's very basic, I think, if you've so many clubs, practically all of your squad is overseas, to have a liaison officer there who can just contact. It shouldn't be a hard thing to do to eradicate these mix-ups. So you either know they're injured or they're not injured. Sometimes, obviously, they might be faking injuries, and there's nothing you can do to prevent that. But once you're told, if you're not told, obviously, it's very bad and whatever, but I'm not sure how much Trapattoni would keep his ear to the ground on players who were on the squad. And I think maybe if a player didn't show up once, I know that could have been the case at Wilson or McCarthy, but these seem to be exaggerated as well. I mean, these players, some of them 20, 21, they're with their clubs. The club tells them, oh yeah, we're going to sort it out. They're injured at the time. They're just going to think, yeah, okay, they're going to do it. They mightn't, you know, have the wherewithal or cop on to realise they have to make sure the call goes through. And they're getting paid by the clubs. So I think the picture is painted by possibly by Trapattoni or some certain parts of the media that players just didn't show up. And it's a good story to have it out there that, oh, he's just not bothered about it. And often players will come back and go, look, I was injured or I was told on the club. I think it's used by Trapattoni too often as a reason not to pick players, even though he wouldn't categorically state that's the reason. We know that he's held grudges in the past. There's a long list that we're going to go through. Overall, the communication is very poor, I think.
And should they have texted back? Should they have texted back Leon Best at least?
Well, you would think that, yeah. You would think that. I mean, it's almost a schoolboy argument, you know, this type of thing. Oh, well, he didn't text back. Oh, why did he say? You know, and even making a thing with that public to say, I think Trapattoni could have been James McCarthy when the text message that he didn't receive it or something like that. Going into details like that in the press, they don't need to know that. You don't need to say in the press conference, oh, he didn't even text me or things like that. It should be sorted behind doors and then, behind closed doors, and then they could say whatever communications issue, if that has to be said. But yeah, I don't think there's anything to be gained from saying how petty these differences are. And then what you have is one manager is using the press to make their point, and then the other player is back in England saying, making his point through the media over there. And it's a circus of a situation, and each player and manager finds out what the other person says in each day's paper, and that's happened a few times.
It's kind of crazy. And you know that, I mean, what I do like hearing though is when Trapattoni will make a couple of comments saying he texted James McCarthy after his great performance against Chelsea or that, and I said congratulations, and James texted back saying thank you boss or something like that. So I mean, it can be a good thing in that sense, but
he did seem to sort of turn a corner, I think, possibly this year, a small bit, although it couldn't get any worse. And I think he said he explained to McLean why he was left out of the squad, and McLean said fair enough, and you know, there was open communication, which there should be from the start. But I mean, they can do that anyway without going public on. So I think really that'd be the standard across the board for players, you know, and it shouldn't be exceptional circumstances where that happens. I think every player appreciates being told by a manager if they're not picked, why they're not picked, you know, or their chance to come. You just go, yeah, fair enough, and keep doing your thing, because otherwise it gets very discouraging for players who are performing and just not getting a look in, and not even getting the word, and it must feel like no matter what they do, they won't get a chance. So they need to know that somebody is still watching them.
They do, yeah. Players these late days, they need to feel loved and that kind of thing. And, you know, lads, just to turn the tide a little bit, I want to talk about Ireland's base in Poznan, and, you know, in Poland, there's a place called, I think it's Sopot or some, or Sopo or that. And one of the things, Gareth, that a lot of the newspapers had over the last few weeks is, it's no Saipan.
No, thankfully not.
it looks the real deal.
Yeah, what are the newspapers going to write about now? We're going to have to write about football for once, I suppose. But it's everything's planned out, and even with the training camp in Italy that's coming up, there's been a media delegation sent out there. There's a few members of the media out in Poland this week as well, surveying all the place in Gdynia and Sopot, the very plush Sheridan hotel that the team are staying in, and the brand new stadium that they'll be training in as well, and in Godoy just outside Gdansk, and everything's set up and it's prepared well, and we're quite fortunate that we got to stay in Poland as well, because it was originally the Swedes, Sweden were going to have all these facilities, but they got drawn into Ukraine, so yeah. They actually switched to Ukraine, so we kind of got in there after them, so that was quite good with the FAI, and in fairness, the FAI, on the back of Saipan and everything that happened there 10 years ago to 2002 World Cup, the Genesis report seems to have taken an effect now, because they're obviously listening to the feedback they got from there and looking at the findings and making sure that these things don't happen again. And so far, the planning looks good, but we'll see what happens when the tournament comes around.
Yeah, Joe, it's great to see the Irish team are going to be in the, I suppose, the lap of luxury. They're going to have games rooms and all sorts of things. And I guess it's really putting Saipan, closing the door on that, you know, on the whole arguments that Roy Keane used to raise with the squad, that the facilities were a joke and all that kind of thing. This is the best of the best. And the fact that Trapattoni got to inspect, as Garrett was saying, you know, the training ground and where they were going to go in Italy and all that kind of thing. I think Trapattoni used to train with his Fiorentina team, I think, or something like that, in the ground where they're going in Italy. But the fact that this really is kind of turned a corner in terms of facilities.
Yeah, I don't know if this will ever, the door will ever be fully closed on Saipan. I think we're still going to be talking about that in another 10 years. It's kind of hard to believe that it's been 10 years since then, to be honest. I've seen some of the photos from the media delegation that have been over in Poland. And as Gareth was saying there, like, the facilities do look absolutely fantastic. The training ground that they have is actually a local second division football's ground, and it's actually it's quite a new stadium. I believe it's only less than a year old, and it holds about 15,000.
And it looks
absolutely immaculate. I mean, it looks like it only opened yesterday, and it's as clean as a new pin. So you know, hopefully there's talk now about open training sessions, and you know, I think the amount of supporters that are rumored to be going over, we might actually fill it for a training session. I think it is another positive to come out of the FAI, you know, that they have seemed to have gotten their act together as regards facilities and set up and training. Hopefully, like I said, I don't think the door will ever be closed in Saipan, but you know, it's not going to be a bone of contention before the championship rather kicks off.
Yes, that'll remain to be seen. Now we're going to talk League of Ireland and everything that's happening at home. We're delighted to be joined now by our goalkeeper turned journalist, Rory Kelly. Rory, thanks for coming on the show tonight. I believe you've made a switch to Finn Harps in Donegal.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, signed there. I signed last week and actually made my debut on Saturday as well. So, a wee change of scenery, I suppose, but closer to home at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, you know, because the fact that you were playing in Derry and you were living in Liverpool, you were going home all the time, but now you're going home.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was always a big Harps fan whenever I was younger and that, like, and I'm just delighted to actually get a chance to actually play for them now. Like, so it's a real dream come true in a sense.
Ah, fair play to you, Rory. And we wish you well for the season and that. Well, looking firstly, lads, at the Setanta Cup, and Rory, you know, Sligo Rovers, their unbeaten start to the season, it came to an end as Crusaders ran out pretty deserved winners, it's probably fair to say, in the first leg. It was a bit of a wet and windy night in Belfast, 2-0. Crusaders, the better team, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, it came to a bit of an abrupt end, you know, from what I've read about the game. Well, Crusaders probably bossed the game in that, and I don't think Sligo deserved much out of it, but I think I'll bring Ian Barraclough's side down to the ground again. You know, they've had an excellent start, like, but you know, it just shows you that there is quality up north, and I think that Crusaders, you know, they haven't done that well in the league this year. But I think they showed that against Sligo that they're very deserving winners, as you said, and you know, they'll take that 2 goals in the second leg and hopefully push on from there, no doubt.
Yeah, they will. And Garrett, Rory just said it shows there's quality up north and in the IFA's league. There was a consensus that the League of for the last 2 years, I suppose, that the League of Ireland teams were a good bit ahead of the Irish League teams or that. But this kind of is proven that things are a lot more closer than we think.
I don't know if I agree with that, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say it was a one-off result. Crusaders obviously deserved on the night, and Sligo just never really got going in the game. I have a funny feeling, though, this tie is not dead. So I know they didn't get the away goal, but going to the showgrounds now, and if Sligo can bounce back on Friday night against Cork City down in Turner's Cross, I have a funny feeling that they could really mix things up against Crusaders in the second leg. Regarding the gap between the teams, I still think the Electricity League is that little bit ahead of the North. I was quite disappointed Linfield didn't last until the semi-finals. They're obviously the powerhouse up North, and Glentoran are going through a difficult patch at the moment. They need to kind of restructure the club, and Cliftonville are always kind of there or thereabouts. They beat St. Pat's, which was a bit of a surprise, but it's good for the competition, and that's what we need. You know, we need kind of both sides of the border contributing, and it's a competition I'd like to see kind of prosper. I'm a big supporter of it and of what it represents, but I do think the RCC leagues are still a little bit ahead of the others, and I think that will be for another couple of years to come.
And Rory, another shock was, of course, Derry's win over Shamrock Rovers. I don't think many people seen this one coming. They kind of have, a lot of people say they now have one foot in the final, 3-0 over the All-Ireland title holders, Shamrock Rovers, there in Talla Stadium. You know, Shamrock Rovers don't lose too many games in Talla, but we got to see some of the class of Derry, and I was impressed by young Patrick McElhenney. He's a real good player.
Yeah, Patrick's a very good player. You know, he had a bit of an off-season last year where he sort of, his form didn't quite match that of whenever he came to Derry during the First Division campaign. But I think, you know, he's starting to show again now. He had a slow start, but obviously the game against Rovers there, he was excellent. Like, and the goal that he produced, you know, he can produce them every game if he wanted. It's just a matter of getting the best out of them. But as you say, it wasn't a result that many people expected. You know, Rovers especially being at home and that, and yeah, especially having gone through a bit of a bad spell recently. But, you know, credit goes to Declan. You know, he set up his team well, and he's missing a lot of players, a lot of important players like Stuart Grecian and Roy Higgins. Like, but I think, obviously, with the goalkeeper getting sent off for Rovers, I think he played a massive part in the tie. But as you say, you know, I think Derry will be going, will be taking the tie to the Brandywell, thinking, well, we have one foot in the final. But, I think that maybe, you know, they shouldn't take Rovers for granted either, because Rovers will definitely put up a fight anyway.
Yeah, they certainly will. And John, just on Shamrock Rovers and Stephen Kenny, everybody's saying that he has some job to do to get this team to gel, and because there's such a high expectancy on Shamrock Rovers this year, you know, they'll be expected to win everything that they're actually in, and it's not obviously looking likely because the league is very close. It's going to be very close right up to the end, there's no doubt about it, and you know, they could be out of this Setanta Cup. And I think Stephen Kenny, he plays that nice brand of football, and when Shamrock Rovers do play, as we've seen their 6-0 demolition there 2 weeks ago, it's good to watch, but they seem to have, it's almost like a mental problem that they have.
Possibly, yeah. They have a lot of players there that they're trying to fill in, put in together. Look, I think a lot of people would have tossed the Pats, and Pats hammered them 5-1. That was just a flash in the pan, but things have cropped up again against obviously losing to Derry 3-0. They thought they were back on track when they got to the lock, but I watched them a couple of times, and there's a few things that don't quite gel. I mean, Killian Brennan, for example, they weren't sure that him and Denny on the wings, they were putting Brennan across and trying to play him right mid, didn't really suit him. He had a lot more freedom when he was with balls. He could kind of go through the middle and create a lot more, or play in the left, his natural position. Then they were putting him left back. I don't really think that position suits him. And just things like that, I'm not sure he's getting the full shape. I mean, obviously, he still have Twig and other players who are going to get you goals, but a lot of people were thinking Rovers are going to run away with us more so than they have. But, you know, I wouldn't be so sure at the moment. Definitely not. Something
looking
that way.
And just coming to yourself, James, you know, we've seen Shelburne defeated Bray Wanderers there last week, and Bowes defeated UCT, and they're two Dublin teams, James, that really kind of need wins. I mean, Shelburne moved up to fifth place in the table there, and it was a second win in a row for Bowes, and because Bowes are still at that stage where, you know, a lot of people are fearing for them this season because they've lost a lot of players, and with the financial problems and that, it'll be hard for these Dublin clubs, but no doubt both of them winning, and they'll be looking to maintain that going forward.
Yeah, and with Bohemians especially, there's the risk that if they were to drop close to the bottom, and drop out of the league, get relegated, you know, things could be very precarious there. So I guess everyone involved at Daily Mount would be saying, they don't really know what to expect from the team this season. So any kind of wins there are a bonus. And I know, I think this weekend is the return of the Rod squad to Daily Mount. That'll be a feisty one in its own right. So, and as you say, Shelburne coming up from the first division, again, perhaps they didn't expect to be in this position at this stage of the season. But again, they'd be saying, once we stay away from the foot, because I suppose they don't know themselves how they measure up until they go through perhaps the first series of games. But yeah, I think Bowes, especially with Roddy coming, will be looking for this weekend as a big one for them.
Sorry, Dave, just on Bowes, yeah, I've seen him a few times this year, and I actually think they'll be safe enough. A lot of tough games, like for the first few fixtures, away to Sligo, away to Shamrock Rovers, and then even the other games, there were still Dublin Derby, Shelburne and Pats. And even though they created very little in the first few games, they were solid enough at the back. Everyone knows their job. And they've only lost, I think, you know, the biggest defeat was to Rovers 2-0, where they defended very well for 80-85 minutes of that game. So, you know, they're solid at the back, and Ward and Carl Moore are really good and capable of playing good football. So I think they'll be safe enough, to be honest. I think there's definitely worse teams below them at the moment than, you know, possibly around them. So I think they should be all right to stay up at least, which is the aim anyway.
Yeah, it certainly would be the aim for Bowes. There's no doubt about that. Gareth, just before we go and look at the upcoming games at the weekend, just a quick point. I keep reading in the papers of managers and the likes of Stephen Kenny and, you know, Devine, the manager at Derry and all. They're coming out and saying that the next big thing, there's so many, like, other James McLeans in the League of Ireland to be discovered, we'll say. And, you know, I know Roddy Collins was mentioning a few names, and one of them he was mentioning was Ryan Brennan. You know, he's been doing some great stuff. Is there any players like that that you really believe have that chance, that if they were to go abroad and maybe spend a season or two, maybe even in the Championship, or that they could progress really quickly? Because we've seen, as you said, we were talking about Carl Shepherd a little earlier on, and obviously it's probably going to take him a little bit of time to get up to speed there at Reading or that, but is there any players in the league now that you feel would be able to make the break?
Definitely. It depends on the level we're talking about. If it's a League One or Championship, or maybe trying to break into a Premier League team, I think there's several players there. I was at the Shamrock Rovers game against Derry the other night, and the trio of Paddy McLennie, we've already mentioned, as well as Steve McLaughlin and Roy McBride as well. Those three players are really, really going to go somewhere. I think by the summer, McElhenney and McLaughlin will probably be gone. I think McBride is someone who's been a little bit underrated at the moment. A really strong centre-back, local lad from Derry there. Very good and confident on the ball. There's also, obviously, Christopher Forrester at St. Pat's with his Messi-like goal against Rovers that everybody's talking about, a YouTube sensation. But
it really was a great goal, though, in fairness.
It really was, and he's a very clever footballer. I think he's an awful lot to do in terms of his physique. I think he really needs to bulk up to go somewhere in the professional game. He's been across to Watford and Wolves on trials already, and I think they didn't take him because he's so slight. But there's plenty of other players. UCD, a young lad, Chris Lyons up front. Bohemians, the left back, Luke Byrne, and Michael Rafter at Dundalk. There's a number of guys out there. But Lee Lynch at Sligo Rovers is another one. He's only 19 as well. They got from Drogheda in the pre-season. And obviously Ryan Brennan, you mentioned, and Jordan Keegan as well. So there's plenty of guys, Jordan Keegan at Monaghan. I reckon there's probably a team of young lads there that scouts are already looking at, and I reckon McElhenney and McLaughlin are the kind of two that will be plucked out straight away, and I reckon McLaughlin could be the next James McLean. Probably not as high as having the immediate impact that McLean has, but he's a similar type of player, left wing, very direct, good cross, has a nice shot on him as well, and he's a tidy player.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Rory? I mean, obviously you've seen your friend go across the water and do so well in such a short space of time. Is there any other lads maybe that you see, any of the lads Gareth mentions that you reckon really could make it? I mean, we've seen last season as well, young Danny Kearns, he did so well for Dundalk, and he moved over to Peterborough, and he's forced himself into the squad there and done well.
Yeah, I think as Gareth says, you know, he's mentioned most of probably up and coming stars in the league. I think Lee Lynch stands out. You know, I watched him a few times now with Sligo, and I think he's an excellent player. I've never seen a player with an engine like him. You know, obviously he was with West Brom before, but I think he's capable of making a step up. As you said, you know, there's fellas like James and Danny Cairns and even Danny Lafferty that have moved over already. But I think, you know, as Gareth said there, I think Stephen and Patrick would probably be next to go. And Ryan McGrady's also, he's a very underrated player, you know, and he's a very strong centre half. He's like old school in a way, where he does his defensive duty. He's not massive on playing football, but he does his job, like, and he's consistent in every game. You know, he made his debut last year against Rovers. You know, he took Gary Twigg out of the game.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a feat in itself. But I think, you know, there's quality in the league, and it's just a matter of teams in League One and probably the Championship tapping into that. But I think, yeah, as Gareth says, probably Stephen and Patrick are probably next to go, and I could see Lee Lynch going also soon too.
Yeah, James, you're in London, but no doubt it makes you want to keep in touch with the League of Ireland a lot more these days, particularly when the next, you know, James McLean or the next Keith Fahey or Kevin Doyle or, you know, is in the league, and particularly when you see Daniel Kearns and that. I mean, he really was a sensation in the League of Ireland, and, you know, he is in a Peterborough side that are going through a tough enough time. But I mean, it's exciting to watch these players progress.
It is, and just speaking from over here, the big breakthrough in terms of League of Ireland was Shamrock Rovers, because everybody here knows who they are now, and the exposure they got in the Europa League and obviously playing Spurs was huge. But more so than the likes of maybe Doyle and Long coming from the League of Ireland was the Rovers themselves making the breakthrough, and I think that probably puts it to the forefront of people's minds here more so. But even speaking about Reading getting promoted, and the manager Brian McDermott, he actually came out recently and said Irish players would be better off staying in Ireland and staying in the League of Ireland that little bit longer before making the step across. So I think probably that is the, you know, that's the way it's going, and that's what it would be from this point of view, from this side of the water, when the likes of Arsenal or whoever can go and sign a Spaniard. They're not going to sign a 14-year-old Irish guy.
I know.
They're going to come through the league. But the great thing is they're coming through the league. And we're not just producing Premier League or Championship players. We're producing Irish internationals.
Yeah, and I guess that's what it's all about. Gareth, I want to come to yourself and looking at the weekend's clashes. I mean, there's obviously a few tasty ones in there. I mean, as John was mentioning, we have the Rod squad going to Daly Mount Park. That'll be a nice one. No doubt the Bose fans will have a few things to say to chant at Roddy on the touchline.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. Obviously, Roddy going back to Daly Mount, and I'm sure he'll play up to that himself as well. It's interesting because obviously Monaghan lost 6-0 away to Cork last week, so they have to bounce back, and Bowes would be a team that Monaghan would be aiming, and I'm sure Roddy would be telling his players that they can beat Bowes. Personally, I think Bowes would be too strong for them, especially, we mentioned earlier, the back-to-back wins. I think they're on a little bit of a roll at the moment, and as one of the lads mentioned, I think Bowes would be safe this year. I think there's worse teams than them in the league, including Monaghan. I put Dundalk in that bracket as well as Bray Wanderers. And
yeah,
I think Bowes would be okay. Aaron Callaghan's a good, clever young coach, and he's experimenting with a kind of 4-3-3, kind of 3-4-3 formation at the moment, and it seems to be working. Two wins in a row, although Cork were pretty poor, and I suppose they were fortunate enough against UCD that UCD didn't take the chances. They did the woodwork a couple of times, but Bowes would be okay, I think.
Yeah, and Rory, your former club is Derry City. They're at home to Dundalk, and you know, we all know what Dundalk can do, so this is going to be a tough match for Derry, but Derry riding high at the moment.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, you know, they've gone through a bit of a bad spell, but hopefully now the Rovers result will take them out of that, and I think, you know, Dundalk will be coming to sort of, they'll be coming to the brand new with no fear and all, but I think, you know, Derry missing a lot of players, the onus is going to be on the squad players now to actually go and perform, and I think, you know, they're 6 points off the top now, and that's not where they want to be, especially 7 or 8 games into the season. But I think Derry will have to take the game to Dundalk from the start, because, you know, Sean McCaffrey can spring a surprise with that Dundalk squad that he has. But
yeah,
obviously they'll be disappointed after last week. You know, after being beat by Rovers by such a margin. But I think, you know, Declan,
it was, in fairness though, Rory, a bad time for them to play Shamrock Rovers, especially what happened with St. Patrick's Athletic the previous week.
Yeah, of course it was. You know, Rovers had to bounce back, and they did that emphatically. Like, but I think Derry will have to keep showing now that they can build on that result against Rovers, and I think that maybe Dundalk will be the start of that now this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And just finally, before we go, John, we have a Dublin derby in St. Patrick's Athletic taking on UCD at Richmond Park. A lot of people would expect a Pats win here, but we all know what UCD can do as well, kind of like Dundalk. I mean, this match could go either way, would you say?
Yeah, but you'd have to really fancy Pats at the moment on current form.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to be after having such a good, I know it was only a couple of games ago, but such a big win against Rovers, I think it'd be really bad for them if they lost against UCD or even drew. And I don't think they will. The lads are mentioning Forrester there. He was a great player, and he's got a great prospect, and probably we'll see go back over to England again. But yeah, to be honest, especially with UCD, I can only see a pass win there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And just before I go, Rory, I think you guys are taking on Limerick, I think it is, this week, is it?
Yeah, it's a big game this weekend. You know, I think we have to build on last weekend's result against Longford. Like, and obviously, Limerick coming up here, they've been out of form recently, but, you know, we have to get the heads down and be confident in ourselves in front of a home crowd, and hopefully we can get 3 points there as well.
Yeah, we wish you the very best of luck. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on the Why Big Football Show. My thanks to John, James, Joe, Gareth and Rory for joining me. Lads, thanks a million for that, and I look forward to the pleasure of your company for another great Irish soccer chat in the very near future. Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Dave. See you.
Tell you a story about old Jack and Ori in his love affair with the green. He had sailed every sea from the red to the dead and everywhere in between. And sure as hell, like a toll of a bell, old Jackal, he would scream. Oh, I've been many places and I've been nowhere. It's as pure as me own sweet County Clare. But you'll never be lonely in my fair. Taken up my heart, Ireland, Ireland, my fair land, Ireland, Ireland. For you alone I'll stand. Oh, I've been many places and I've been nowhere. It's as pure as my own sweet County Clare. But you'll never be lonely in my fair land. Well, Molly Malone, a girl from Athlone who left back in 63. From the Great Coliseum to the Van Gogh Museum, fair Molly she has been. And he had all the fine places and all the fine graces, still Molly she would dream. Well, I've been many places but I've been nowhere. It's as green as the hills of the County Kildare. But you'll never be lonely in my fair. Ireland, Ireland, you have taken up my heart. Ireland, Ireland, my fair land. Ireland, Ireland, you alone I stand. Oh, I've seen many places and I've seen nowhere. The screen, the hills of the County Kildare. But you'll never be lonely in my fair. Everywhere, let me tell you this, nothing compares. You may-